We're entering into a new series for the next 4 weeks, sermon series, simply entitled Go. And what I find fascinating, if you go look in the Bible, you'll find the word go about 1,400 times. Now, we're not going to look at all of them, not all 1,400. But we're going to look at a couple, and we're going to look at a theme around this idea of going. And one of the images that we'd like you to think about throughout this month and these weeks would be this image of a traffic light, okay, like a stoplight. But rather, I'd like you to think about a traffic light that's green, that's always green. I don't know what you're like when you go to come to an intersection to a traffic light. I'm a rather impatient guy when it comes to traffic lights. And Lydia and I travel a good bit down the 309 from Telford down to Cheltenham, where our grandson lives with our daughter and son-in-law. And so we're going through Montgomeryville. How many of you have been through Montgomeryville? My word, Montgomeryville intersection. And Lydia will tell you that I am the happiest camper when we go flying down 309 and hit all the green lights. It's just like boom, 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 boom. And I am just... well, let's just say I'm just not a nice guy when I'm sitting there at a red light. And particularly when I'm behind someone, when the light turns green and they don't go. And I'm saying, what color do you want? And Lydia's like, patient. So I apologize to you all. That is, maybe you're like that. You know, I want to see green. And I want to keep going. But not everybody's like that. Not everybody's eager to sort of take off like you're in a drag race from a green light. That's sort of my approach to it. Keep going. Let's go. But not everybody's like that. In fact, my father, who went home to be with the Lord about 3 years ago, I loved him dearly. But in the later years of his life, he had this philosophy. When he would get to the Montgomeryville intersection, which, by the way, if you get to a red light, it's about 5 minutes or something like that, it seems like, right? Till all the traffic has to go through and all the lights have to change, and then you finally get green. Well, my dad, my dear dad, in his later years, he got sort of tired a lot. His approach to that intersection, if it was red, he would stop the car, put it in park, and take a nap. And he actually told our daughters who were learning to drive that that's the way what you do in Montgomeryville. If you get a red light, you put it in park and you take a nap. And I said, Dad, what do you mean? He said, well, when it turns green, the people behind me beep, I wake up and I go, and I go. I don't recommend that. Road rage comes as a result of those kind of things. So just do your best to keep going. So you get the idea. This green light, I think most of us like green lights, don't we? When we come in terms of faith, we're seeing green as followers of Jesus who are called into this relationship with God through faith in Christ to live an abundant life, to live a fulfilled life, is to live a life that's always following the green, that's always going. And that's what we want to think about today. What does it mean for us to go? What's our call to go? And I want us to look at the life of Abram today, Abraham, in the book of Genesis. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 12. And if you don't have a Bible with you, grab the one in the seat in front of you. We're going to look at this story. It's the first book of the Bible, 12 chapters in, this amazing story of Abraham, who was called Abram initially. And so we're going to look at this story of his call to go. And how God gave him a green light. And what's involved with going. In terms of faith and our call to follow Jesus. And let's look at this example. Let me just read Genesis chapter 12, 1 to 9. Now the Lord said to Abram, go. Go from your country, your kindred, your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great. So that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran, And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. And when they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. Abram is called by God to follow and to go. And as we see in this story, I want you to see in this story that the call to go always has a starting point. So what's a starting point for Abram and Sarai as they go? You got to go back a couple verses. So if you're looking there, go back to chapter 11. Go back to verse 29. Notice what it says. And Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and Iscah. Now Sarai was barren. She had no child. Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son's Abram's wife. And they went forth together from Ur, the Chaldeans, to go to Haran. They settled there. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now, the call to go always has a starting point. So what is the starting point here? It was a settled place. Here's the truth about the story. Abram's father, Terah, had traveled approximately 600 miles from Ur, that was the starting point for him initially, 600 miles to Haran, and he stopped there. Now, he was going on to the land of Canaan, the promised land. What God had promised for Terah and his family, but guess what? He stopped 400 miles short of the promised land. And we're not sure why. The Bible doesn't tell us why. We know Terah, along with Abram and Sarah, left their home in Ur, went to the promised land 600 miles, and he stopped 400 miles short of what God intended for him to experience. We can imagine why. Maybe you can speculate why. Maybe he was tired. Maybe he was discouraged. Maybe he had faced all kinds of problems along the way. And you know what? Haran looked like a nice enough place. I think I'm just going to settle here. He did. Maybe he was disillusioned. Maybe God had called him and then he sort of lost touch with God. And so here he's in a settled place. And guess what happens? That's where he dies. That's where he dies. The call to go is often from a settled place. Now, Abram got the call from God to go. Look at verse 4. What does Abram do? So Abram went. As the Lord had told him. And Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old. Abram went. Now, it's interesting to me, and maybe you have had this experience from those who are older and wiser than you when you were younger. Didn't they ask you the question? My mom's here today. Maybe she asked me the question. Jerry, when are you going to settle down? That's a fair question, right? And what does settled down mean? Like, when are you going to find a wife or a husband? When are you going to get a house? When are you going to raise kids? When are you going to get a job? You know, settle down. And then we get this also, you know, and make sure you're saving. That's good. All these things are good. Don't get me wrong. And when are you going to have enough money to retire? Then you really settle down. You get the picture? Nothing wrong with any of that. Unless we're settling down when God's calling us to go. Unless in the midst of settling down, God is saying, go. Because you know what? In the Bible, we're never called settlers. Remember that? You never find Christians, followers of Jesus, people of God, called settlers. We're called sojourners. The word pilgrim. This is the one I like. Resident aliens. A resident alien? Wait a second, I thought I was supposed to settle down. What if settling down meant we listen to God's call, and in this dark world we live in, we live for the kingdom of God? You see, I wonder if Tara didn't settle down to the exclusion of God's call, 400 miles short of the promised land. But Abram heard it. But it always starts from a settled place. And you know what? Churches can settle down too. Churches can settle down. I was with a group of pastors this week sharing in prayer together, and one of the pastors was just sort of talking about the decline of the church, his church, their church. You know, what does it look like for a church to settle down? I like the way it is right here. I like the people I'm with. That's all well and good. You know what? I worked pretty hard for a lot of years in this church, and I think I'm just going to settle down. You know what happens when we settle down as a church? Eventually we die. Eventually we get older. And like Tara, maybe 205 years old, probably not. But eventually we die. God's call is always to go, but it starts at a settled place. So what does that settled place look like for us here? Now, don't get me wrong. There are seasons in life, and you may be in a season in life right now here at Finland Manly Church where you're just going through grief, going through hardship. You know, it's a transition in life. You're here. We wrap our arms around each of us. We care for each other. We encourage each other. We cry with each other. We rejoice with each other. And there are seasons when we do need to sort of, I can't do anything but be here. So that's good. That's important for a season. But recognize as a church, we can settle down. And if we settle down, we'll die. And we'll miss the promised land that God has for us. That's why, you know, I think about it this way. We come to church, and it's wonderful. The worship here today, I'm just really drawn in. Thank you, Lisa, and your team for leading us into God's presence. And those songs just sort of ministered to me today again, like it always does. So we come together. This is important to be here. But we're here 3 hours out of the week. And, you know, you and I have 168 hours in a week. And if we settle into this pattern of just saying, my faith is lived 3 hours a week, we're settling down. And that's why we're called, as Pastor Chris and myself and the elders and the leaders of this church are being called to faith at home. In 3 weeks, Mark Holman's going to be here to help us just sort of understand what does it mean like to be 24/7 followers of Jesus who aren't settling down, but are going after the call of God for our lives. Those 165 hours of the week that you and I find ourselves out in our homes, in our workplaces, in our communities. If we're not careful, we settle down. We say, I like church. I love the worship. I love the Sunday school time. I love the fellowship. And that's all important. But we have 165 hours of the week where God calls us to be followers of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit to grow as the people of God who are going. Mark's passion is to also help parents and grandparents to see that we are the primary persons who are nurturers of faith in the lives of our children. And I can't think of a more important thing to get our hands around as parents and grandparents to take our faith home and then take it into the workplace and take it into our neighborhoods. so that God's kingdom continues to go. God never said that when we hear the gospel and respond to the call of Jesus, that that call is to settle down. It's to keep going. But that starting point is often a settled place, even a comfortable place. Maybe a place of feeling like stopping or not going, a place that doesn't require a lot of trust and faith. That was Terah's experience, but it wasn't Abram's. And I love the fact that he was 75 years old. 75 years old. There's hope for me yet. When he heard the call of God, and he went. Now you may say, well, that's relative, because he died when he was 205, so 75, you know, that's really not. He was, no, 75. Heard the call of God. That means everyone here is able to hear the call of God to go. You know, when I was in my early 20s, I had a great job. I really did. Right out of high school, I entered a management training program at the Univest Bank. It was Union National at that time. And God definitely opened that job. I prayed about it as a high school senior, and God opened that job, and he invited me to be in management training. And I just thought, now this is a job I can settle down into. And about 5 years into that, I started dating a girl in Lancaster, just for a short time. And I just thought, here it goes. Here's the plan. Settled job, relationship, until one night, Saturday night, she told me, I'm not really not interested in this relationship anymore. And that was one of the saddest, maybe most disillusioned, disappointed rides back from Lancaster to Souderton that I've ever experienced. That Sunday morning, I went to church. I can still remember where I was sitting. I can still remember that the preacher was preaching from 1 Peter. And I can still remember what I was feeling. Not only had I been in a settled place, man, I was in a desperate place. Because I wondered whether God heard my prayers. I wondered what God's plan was. And in those moments, I remember surrendering my life to God again. See, God, I don't understand this, but I'm willing to trust you. And it was like God took that despair and replaced it with a desire, a deep desire to study his word. And I remember talking to my pastor, talking to my parents, praying a lot about it, and it led to my resigning from the bank job and going to Lancaster Bible College to study the Bible for 1 year. That's right, Sarah, shout out to Lancaster Bible College. And in that time, that's when my friendship with Lydia began to grow into this amazing love relationship. That July 18th, we celebrated 35 years of marriage and ministry together, and I'm just so grateful to God for her, for our life together, and for God's grace. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a job that you're in for 40 years. There's nothing wrong with marrying your childhood sweetheart and, you know, you hear me? But the settled place, it's not what God intends for us. We're called resident aliens, pilgrims, sojourners on this journey. So it can come from a settled place, and also can come from a very barren, helpless place. Look back at verse 30, because I think Abram and Sarah were also in a desperate place. Now, Sarah was barren. She had no child. She had not been able to conceive. And God had promised that he would bless them. You know what that meant in that culture? I think you do, if you've studied this at all. It meant that she was a non-person. That she was somehow, had nothing to offer to the culture they lived in, and was actually sort of spurned because she wasn't able to have children. And so in the process of this desperation, what do Abraham and Sarah do? They follow God's call. They go. They go out of this settled place, out of this desperate place. And I want you to see what happens next. There's this struggle to go, even as they go. Verse 1 of chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Here's the first part of the struggle to go. This call to go is often from a settled place or a desperate place, but it's also there's a struggle in this call to go. Here's what it was. They were called to leave their country. What was that? A familiar place where they were known, they knew. They were to leave their kindred, leave those who are like you, leave your father's house, leave your relatives. There's a struggle there, a deep struggle. Back in June, our oldest daughter, Elizabeth, after months of prayer and a year and a half long coast-to-coast relationship with her boyfriend then, Jesse, quit her job and moved from her home in Philadelphia, her job at the Saturn School District as a third grade teacher at the Franconia Elementary School, and moved from her home in Philadelphia to Burbank, California. And the week before Bible school, Elizabeth and I, with all her worldly possessions packed in a little Honda Civic, drove 2,700 miles, 40 hours, from Telford to Burbank, California. No job, no proposal for marriage at the time. Moved her into an efficiency apartment. And that was a struggle for her. That was a struggle for Lydia and me to see our daughter leave, but knowing that God was calling her there. This week, on Monday, Jesse proposed to her, and they're now engaged to be married. We don't know where. We don't know when. And on Wednesday, she signed a contract to teach fourth grade in the Burbank school district. Now, I'm grateful that God continued to show her the path. But you know what? This leaving, this call to go is not without struggle. And God is probably still answering prayers for you as you're on this going. What does God have for me as I go? I'm walking by faith, Lord. What about these prayers that are not being answered right now? The second part of the struggle, though, helps us to see that. He said, go to the land that I will show you. In other words, as you go, I will show you. You get that? That's not how I think. Show me, and then I'll go. Right? You see the struggle with the call of God to go? God says, go, and I will show you. I'd rather see the plan. Like when I was driving Elizabeth to California, I wanted to know where we were stopping. I made the reservations at the hotels because I wanted to know that I wasn't going to be in a flea bag hotel. I didn't need any bed bugs in my house. So I made sure I knew where we were going. But that's, God says, go, and I will show you. And that's the struggle with God's call, to leave the familiar, to leave what we know of our routine. And this may be where it applies most to most of us here today. To leave the familiar. What does that look like? What's familiar to you in your day-to-day work and life? You know what that is. I get up at this time. I go here. I get my coffee. I go there. I go to work. I come home. It's familiar, right? What if God is calling us to go and to go outside of what is familiar? What might that look like for you and me? What might it look like to go and to struggle with this call to go? Say, God, I'll go. And God says, go, and I'll show you where you need to go today. Well, wait. I got a familiar routine, and I got a familiar group of people I know. I got a familiar circle of friends. I got a familiar family. I got a familiar place I work. I got a familiar route. You know, what if God is saying to us, go, and I'll show you as you go who it is, where it is, what I have for you today. Because there's a significance to this call to go, and I don't want you to miss this. Verse 2, God said, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and to him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So what's the significance of the call to go? We understand the settled place that this call comes from. We understand the struggle with that call to go. What's the significance of it? Well, here's the significance. You and I, following Jesus, get to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We get to participate in the kingdom of God that's here now and still coming. We get to share the love of Christ. We get to be the ambassadors for Jesus in this, as resident aliens in this world. Abram was used by God to do the work of God, to touch other lives with God's love. He got to see God at work in their lives. Now listen, he didn't do it perfectly, and you're going to have to get the dig deeper sheet to understand the rest of the story on that one. He's like you and me. He messed up. God forgave him. Look at the dig deeper sheet. Follow through on that. God has a plan to spread his love to others, to transform our world, and it will only be accomplished through his church. He said plainly, go, and as you go, make disciples, and I'll be with you to the end of the age. Here's a verse that I want to hold before you. It's one of my favorite verses from John 15, 16. It says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go. Go and do what? Bear fruit. That's the significance of the call. Fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. You're called to go, not just on Sunday here at church, but every day. God has divine appointments for you and me as we go. And that's the significance of the call. How else is God going to do the work that he wants to do in this world to transform this world from the dark place it is to the light of Jesus through you and me? I've been a volunteer chaplain for the Saturn Fire Company for more than 20 years. And the way that works is I'm on call. So if the president of the company has a fireman or a member of the family needs pastoral care, I'll go. And so I don't have to go every month to their meetings, but when I was praying on Tuesday morning, the Spirit just sort of said, you need to go to the meeting tonight. And my calendar was clear here at church, so I went to the meeting, not sure why. I wish I could tell you that after that meeting, three guys accepted Christ. I'm praying about that, but that didn't happen this week. In the process of being there, I was still, you go into those situations and say, well, God, I sense I'm supposed to go, so what's this about? As I'm connecting with different of the firemen, I'm hearing their stories. One whose wife is dealing with cancer, so I said, well, I'm praying with you, and I will pray with you. And then another guy says, I just had a heart attack. I had that widowmaker thing. Man, I got to the hospital just in the nick of time, 47 years old. And it's like he said, I see life totally differently. I was able to thank God with him for that. And on, different relationships. And then when I walked away from that, God, what happened there? What was that about? Because I'm really not sure what it was about yet. And God just said to me, in my spirit, he said, it's not about the results, it's about the relationships. You leave the results to me. You leave the seed planting, the seed watering, the harvesting to me. That's what 1 Corinthians 3 says. But it's all about the relationships. The significance of this call to go is that you and I get to be partners with Jesus in the lives of people. And if you've experienced that, you know what I'm talking about. If you've seen your being able to come alongside someone and lead them into a saving relation with Jesus, or if you've prayed with somebody who's a total stranger, or you've talked to somebody who's a total stranger and you've heard their story and now you're praying for them, as I heard this week, that there's nothing better than that. Being able to be Jesus to them. So what is the substance of the call? Let me close with this, verse 6 through 9. What's the substance of this call to go? So Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. The substance of the call to go was the relationship that Abram had with the Lord, and his worship of the Lord, his dependence on the Lord, his devotion to the Lord, his being alert to the call of God. Abram listened to the Lord and went, and God blessed him. See, what Abram did was, his father had taken him 600 miles. They settled down. From that settled place, Abram heard the call, he and Sarai went the other 400 miles into the promised land. But that didn't stop there. He kept going. And every time he moved, he built an altar. He built an altar to the Lord. He worshiped the Lord. We don't know all that was happening in those places. The Canaanites were there, so it wasn't easy. Resident alien in a foreign place. But he worshiped the Lord. The substance of the call to go is the worship of God, our dependence on the Lord, our devotion to the Lord, our being alert to the call of God. On the Dig Deeper sheet, I invite you to study Matthew 8, the story of Jesus encountering this Roman military officer, and Jesus affirms him, this Gentile. He affirms him because he said, you know what this is all about, this going thing. You know what it's about. And he said, well, Jesus, you don't even have to come and heal my servant. You can just say the word and it'll happen. And Jesus said, whoa, I've never seen such faith in all of Israel. And he affirms the faith of this man to go. Look at that. Study that a little bit. I invite you to see what Jesus talks about, the substance of this call to go. It's faith in Jesus. So as we close, imagine with me. Just use your imagination with me. What a difference we could make in this world. If you and I first recognize the incredible love that God has for you and me, that went so far as to sacrifice his only son for us, and that we worshiped him and listened for his call, and not just on Sunday, but 24/7, every waking moment. And as we go into our world watching for God to work in our homes and in our neighborhoods, in our church. Brothers and sisters, let's not be settlers. Let's not settle down. There's no such thing as retirement in God's kingdom. We're called to go. We're called to go. And as we go, to be God's hands and feet, to be the person of Jesus to those who need him. So here's my question to leave with you as we finish here. To what place, to what people, to what priority might God be calling you to go? And what is keeping you today from going? Let's pray together. Lord, even as you called Abram to go, we recognize and we hear today you're calling us to leave our settled places. Maybe even our places of pain. And as it was true for me all those years ago, being in worship from a painful place, those are some of the richest times that you can speak to us. And so wherever we are today, we admit we often respond to this call, sometimes with faith, but sometimes with hesitation. And we admit it's sort of frightening to abandon our settled places of security, our routines. And to be willing to go to places and people you'll show us. Forgive us, Father, for wanting to know in advance where the land is and who the people are before we go. But you simply offer yourself as one worthy of all trust. And you give this invitation to us, come, follow me, go. And so in the quietness of this morning, we ask, Father, for a deepening desire, for a stronger faith, for a greater love, for a more profound courage to go, knowing that you go before us and with us. Thank you for giving us the privilege to go. In Jesus' name. Amen.